Okay, we're recording. Today is January 26th, Koheles Perek Aleph, and we're talking about how Koheles chapter 1 dabbles with the issue that the ancient Greeks discussed about human experience, our observation of motion, and how they relate to what appears to be, according to one opinion in Greek philosophy, illusions of what we experience. Right. According to Zeno's paradoxes, there's no way that the hare could possibly overcome the tortoise, and yet we see that those things do happen. We see it with human races, we see it with animals who chase after each other, so this must be that our experiences are illusory. Okay, I don't really want to spend too much time on that, rather than just seeing that in Perek Aleph, the things that Shlomo mentions that are such a yegiah, so not worth our attention, because the water keeps flowing the same way from one place to another. The planets keep on moving in the same direction, and everything goes back to where it started. And we see that people are in their own motion. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And if you'll say, yeah, here's something new, that's been done too long ago. What is he trying to say? Okay. So allow me to suggest to you that he wants to get us right away in the beginning of the book into an acceptance and appreciation of the fact.
Right in the middle of Koheles is missing 40 pages.
Remember I told you that Sefer Devarim intends to have Koheles at the end with a good, nice list of Koros Gadol. Okay. So, Koheles Perek Aleph wants to establish an important point for the book. The ultimate of Chochmah is not what's new. The ultimate of Chochmah is morality. It's Yiras Shamayim. Let me explain. If you guys wanted to know the best way to perform open heart surgery, or the best way to build a bridge, you wouldn't look at the doctors or engineers of 2,000 years ago. I want to know what was just written yesterday about these things, right? Anything that requires your chachma, your science, your knowledge. But he wants to tell us, and I think we'll continue to do this, although now in academia, who knows what's going on. But when it comes to your shamayim, when it comes to morality, I do want to hear what people said 3,000 years ago. Right? There may be different frameworks. We talked about this, about canonization. You know, by certain standards, Socrates would be certainly canceled from some of his behavior, right? He's the forerunner of most Western political thought, right? Some of his personal practices that show up between the lines in the Plato's Republic. Anybody a philosophy major here? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm a philosophy major from YU.
Kill the
40 years ago. And in this, I have to say, because it was in this very classroom, Walter Wurzberger was talking about freedom of work, free choice. And he said that just because I know that no one here is going to jump out that window or come up and slap me in the face doesn't mean that you don't have the free will to do it. Right? So someone actually got up. It was a room more full than this. Someone gets up in the corner. Gets up to like go to the bathroom, and as he just takes a quick turn here, and he slapped him across the face hard. He slapped him across the face. I saw it. You see, I had the free will to do that, and he left. He was a jolly kind of guy, right? He was the president of the RCA at the time, I believe, or maybe it was before. But he was a very important guy. He was one of the Rove's big students in the 40s and 50s. So anyway, he's no longer with us, of course, but it was in this classroom in the 70s. So I think this is what Koheles wants to establish early on. using the examples that he may have known we used in the ancient world about proving that our experiences are so off, that they're not real. Shlomo wants to tell us, okay, listen, it's true, the waters seem to go into the same place and go around and around, the planets are going around and around, and human emotions going around and around, and nothing seems to be new, nothing new. So he keeps saying nothing new under the sun. Right? Nothing new on this. Remember what I did last class with Havel, Havolim? Remember the Ibn Ezra about that? Taking something that looks like vanity of vanities, and it said, he said it's deceivable. Remember that, everybody? Right? Please, it's very important. And the foundations of understanding how I'm going to teach Koheles is that it's chas v'shalom, not that there is nothing worth striving for. It's just that most things are not worth striving for. Right? Kol hevel means mostly small stuff, right? It's just that find the real stuff and then apply that in everything you do. Your relationships, who you want to date and who you want to spend the rest of your life with. Just don't sweat the small stuff. Yeah, there's small stuff too, but don't sweat it. Okay? All right, so the church took hold of this and took it so literally that they persecuted Copernicus over these psukim. Right? The whole persecution of Copernicus is from Koheles Perek Aleph. Anyone want to explain? I mean, we didn't look into it yet, but you must be familiar with it.
I mean, just because he was saying that the earth was going around the sun.
Right.
So
he said the sun goes around the earth. He says the sun keeps turning and spinning and going around the earth and coming back and starting the next day. That, by the way, if the sun does that every day, it would melt our galaxy. If the sun made a circuit of 490 million miles in one day. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I think it's like a little less than that amount. It's more like 340. Whatever it is, but it's a long circuit, and Koheles says that it makes that circuit each and every day. All right, did our rabbis know better? It doesn't matter. This was never a point. The Jews never discussed this to the point of it being a matter of dogma. There's a mark at the end of Pesachim that says we believe the sun circles the earth, because the earth is God, is the center of our galaxy, and it's the main focus of God, and the sun turns around the earth. Okay, big deal. No religious dogma implied with that. The Talmud is filled with things that were the science of the day, and they got wrong. Because that's the science of the day. The Talmud is not a science book, and neither is the Tanakh, for that matter. It's a moral code. It's a halachic code. Okay, there's no faith system that says that we have to believe that the earth is that the sun is the center of our galaxy, or that the earth is. It doesn't matter. Right? So there was no persecution of anyone who said it one way or said, you know what? My experience shows that it's the earth. They should have known. They should have known the earth based on the way total eclipses of the moon. Right, make it disappear and reappear in a spherical manner. Doesn't come in a block. They saw it, but it's approximately once a year there's a total eclipse of the moon. It's not an uncommon phenomenon. And they should have realized it from the rare event of a total eclipse of the sun. All right, be that as it may, there's also another pasuk in Tanakh that the church used, which when Yeshua wanted the day to last longer, if he had been up on his science, he should have said, "Earth, stop turning." Instead, he said, "Shemesh begivon dom." No talking about it. Okay, there are pair of tests of Sefer Yehoshua. So by saying "Shemesh begivon dom," how could Yehoshua be oblivious of this? He's a prophet. He should know these things. The answer is God did not instill in the minds of our prophets things that weren't important for them. Certainly not scientific things that weren't important for them. Okay? That's how we are. So even the Rambam gets some things wrong. The Rambam tells us what's the distance between the earth and the sun. And he's profoundly wrong. Big deal. He talks about it in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Mishnah Torah, not just in a science pamphlet. Right? So, big deal. Right? What Koheles is trying to tell us in Perek Aleph is that's part of the small stuff, at least at that time period. Now space travel is an important thing for us. Right? Okay? And when things get messed up here, maybe we're going to have to colonize Saturn. Like, what was that movie that day? It was about that with the grain.
Remember? Puerto Rico? The Martian? Puerto Rico?
I don't know. It was a movie where all the Earthlings had to go off to some other place. And they made a good place. Some place had to go. And one of the Saturn's rings or something. I don't know. All right. So space travel is important now. So it's very important that all of you believe that the Earth is the center, that the sun is the center of our galaxy, not the Earth. It's probably important for you to believe that. But in Tanakh, it wasn't. Yes.
Doesn't the Rambam say the way you do the Yiras Hashem is when you learn science in the world that God created?
Absolutely. No doubt. But the way they needed it. Right? The way they understood it. Right? And the Rambam was way ahead of his time on a lot of those things. But 150 years ago, doctors were going from woman to woman to woman to give birth and killing half of them. Because they didn't wash their hands. They didn't know. Right? So why did God put that into a pasuk someplace? Save many lives. That's not. Tanakh is a moral code. The Talmud does have science in it. Talmud does have medical treatises in it. It's a bit Chuvas HaRashba, and he collects all of the medical advice of the Talmud, and he tells you which one is better because we've changed, or which don't follow this now. If you follow this, you're going to hurt yourself. Right? So it's a huge tshuva. It's like 11 pages. All of the collections of brachas and everything. There's collections all over Shabbos. Shabbos especially. What medicines can you take on Shabbos? Whether life-threatening, whether... And the Gemara has lots of medical things. And I'm sure it was at the cutting edge at the time. It's going to get into the Talmud. Right? But no one is going to read 2,000-year-old treatises to know how to treat people today. Maybe some Kabbalists are. Don't go to them.
It's a slippery slope, picking and choosing what to follow and what not to follow from the Talmud. Just the morality versus science.
Right. There's so going to be a once I have a Rashba, I'm going from there. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to choose. I'm going to let Rishonim choose for me. I'm going to let Achronim determine what Rishonim mean, and I'll take it up to my very day. And I'll read what J.D. Blatt has to say about that, or someone who lives today who's into medicine and law and right. All right, but I want to learn Koheles, and I'm going to just say that the examples that you see in Greek philosophy are just all here about the waters that don't make anything new, the planets don't make anything new, and human motion doesn't make anything new. So why should we strive for anything? Well, the answer is because first of all. No, at no point in this book does he actually draw conclusions that are meant to be final. He keeps saying it's better to be dead than to be alive. It's better to be never to be born. It's better. It's important to learn this book that these are suggestions. These are thoughts in my mind. Because the conclusions come at the end of the book. We'll get there. All right? There's a whole chapter of conclusions at the end of the book, which is basically, don't waste your life in your youth. Okay? But they will come when your choppers aren't going to work. People died. The main reason for death in 1900 in America? Tooth decay. And life expectancy was 46 years old. Right? And Koheles warns you at the end of his book, make sure your teeth work into your old age. It's going to be possible with that. Right? So good. Some medical advice. How do you like that? Some understand that teeth to be figurative for something else. Okay, fair enough. But he does talk about you making sure that in your youth
You don't do things that mess up your old age. Okay, this is why I prefer, because especially because of that parak ends the book. He talks about it. There's Gemara in Masechet Shabbos about Kufnu and Gimel that goes through all of them to show how, you know, to prepare for your old age, prepare well for your old age. Right? I mean, look, today we have all kinds of it. That's what we do. That's what we advance. We advance in science. I'm telling you, I have two hip replacements. I have two titanium. They cut me in half twice. Mamish split me in half and put in these two big devices, one here and one here. I don't know from the cut I see every day how they got that big thing in there. I'm not going to ask, but I, you know, I just had my 10-year checkup, and I saw what it looks like. He said it's fine, okay, and apparently that it was all like together, and when it puts in it, it opens up. I don't know how they got that in. But let me tell you, 10 years ago, I could not put on a pair of socks. I could not say modim. Well, how did that happen to me? It's crazy. I ran marathons in my teens and in my early years. Not in very good blood. But, and that's probably what it was, but terrible arthritis in the family. It's genetic. It's what I was doing. It's my lifestyle. But with, if I didn't have that, I'd be in a wheelchair today. That's science. Good. Use that to a great use. You guys are in the one of the best institutions in the world right now, not just because of what you're learning, because of your, they say this every year about why you get sent to number 43 in the country, because of your associations, your networks that you're creating while you're here. Right? All right, so that's what Koheles is about. Try to make the best of this life that often stinks. That often is, you can't do it, it's just it's irrational. Right? And the book is a trip to the gym. Right? Where you're going to sweat, and you're going to, you're supposed to sweat. Zeat HaKacha, Torah says. Right? Don't take any breaks. So last class I spoke about the Amal. The Amal is chapter 1. There's nothing worth striving for under the sun. There's nothing that works. Everything is we're all going to die anyway. We're all going to be food for worms, so why bother? That's going to be chapter 3. We're going to get there soon. So the Amal is the the striver, because that's all he does. Right?
This chapter 1 or 3?
This is chapter 1, is the Amal. Chapter 2, in other words, are you going to reach the true meaning of life through Ameilut? No. No, because time will come where they're going to put you out to pasture. You want to just write a note, the end of the Sefer Kiddushin is about that. How in every field, at some point they're going to say, excuse me, it's time to retire. Right? Some younger than others. Right?
I guess we might get to this later, but how is retiring the antithesis of Amelun? In other words, and why does that subvert one's meaning in life?
It's that Amelus, certainly, you're going to have to stop that level of Amelus at some age. But don't limit your life experience to that, because a time will come when you can no longer do that. Fill in other things in your life. You ever see that? I saw it actually, but it's described. If someone gives him a big jug, and he says, put in peaches in here. So peaches, okay? It's full. Can you put in any? No, there's no room for one more peach. He goes, okay, now put in blueberries. And he puts in, he sees it, oh, blueberries don't fit in. And they go, oh, no. He goes, can you more room for blueberries? No. He goes, now put in sunflower seeds. And he keeps seeing the food. There's almost no room. And he goes, now put in some water. And he keeps seeing that there's more room for other things. You just don't fill up your life just with Amenus, because a time will come where if that's all you have, you will regret it. And you will consider it burdensome, and you will consider it, look, it means, you know, a lot of things. Have a retirement fund. You know, treat your kids in a certain way because that'll assure that they'll respect you and honor you when they grow up, you know, when you're old. I saw a mom's paper recently and said, be good to your children, they're going to choose your old age home. So what can I say? You know, I have balabatim. I'm in the same shul for almost 35 years now. Not 35, it's 36 years. And sometimes, you know, parents complain to me, look what my children are doing after all I did for them. And said, don't I deserve better? And I said, it's not a question of what you deserve. They're commanded to honor you, respect you. Right? It's not, if you view that, you teach your children that it's, you're commanded. You're commanded to keep Shabbos. You're commanded to eat matzah on Pesach. You're commanded to respect me. And once a parent has to say that, that's bad. Alright? Okay, it's for you to know about how you treat your parents. It's a mitzvah. Okay. Alright, so don't fill your life only with amelus. You're gonna see that the four things on your front page, the amal, the right, there's a navi, there's a nehene, and there is a chacham, that you, should I give it away now? You have to have all four of these. Not any one of them, not any two or three of them. You need all four of them. Okay? Right. Chapter 1 is the Amel. Chapter 2 is the Nehemiah. Let's look at it. Let's talk about chapter 2. He's trying to find meaning in life. What's the best thing to do in life? Guys, you need at least a Tanakh. All right? Come on.
Is it okay if I get my permission to go at the swarm cell?
Well, use this in between. So he starts off Perek Beis with Amarti Ani Belibi. Right, he talks a lot to his heart. This man. Remember, your heart has two sides to it. Right. Because we are, by nature, human beings, we are profoundly selfish by nature. What do I mean? When we're born, we are more needy than any other species on this planet. Really. We're the top of the food chain on the planet. But there's no other animal that is as needy as we are. One that comes close is the bear. Which is why the mother bear is always the example, right? Dov Shakul in the Tanakh, right? In Mishlei. The bear is very protective of its young because they're so needy. So the bear has an instinct, more than any other animal, to look after its young. Especially since the father bear tends to eat those kids. Familiar with that? The mother bear really has to have an instinct to really protect their kids. The one that helped to create those kids does not have that instinct and tends to want to eat them when they're small. Okay? So human beings are even more needy than the bear. Right? We would not survive even one day without someone profoundly in our care. There are many animals on planet Earth that the first day they're already walking around and even have teeth, enough teeth to bite out food for themselves or some fish that they're not even in the care of their elders even for one moment. Right? We are profoundly selfish. Not, I don't mean it in an evil way. Right? Everything we need is in the care of someone else, and we have no way to even tell them what it is that we need. We're hungry, we're cold, we're hot, music is too loud, I'm wet, I need a diaper change, right? They just explain all those things the exact same way for, you know, 6 months, 8 months. And then we start to advance so quickly, right? Relatively quickly. By 8 months, some animals are already procreating, right? Got it? So look how needy we are. So good parents have to teach a child. This is basically what Koheles wants to teach you with regards to the Nehemiah. The Nehemiah wants to receive, and preferably now. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I want my benefit, I want my pleasure, I want it now. I don't want to put off my pleasures for later. I like it now. Right? There are biblical characters who behave this way. Right? You know, I have the benefit of many years of drushes. What's wrong with Yishmael for being a mitzachik? So what? His brother's name is Yitzchak. So why did the rabbis make such a big deal about Yishmael being a mitzachik? So what? Let's have a good time. So have a good time with your brother. He's Yitzchak, you're mitzachik. What's the subtle difference between the two? Big grammar.
One is
in the moment. Mitzachek is, he's like, he just wants to have fun. Yitzchak is Yitzchak. But Yitzchak liyom acharon. Oz yimolei schok pinu. You know, of course, we're not prudes that we just don't want pleasure at all. It's just that we understand the place of pleasure. You grow up and you're 3 years old and you want to have that ice cream now. You're going to have a tantrum because three-year-olds are good at that. Two-year-olds are good at that. And I want it now. But if you're raised in a certain way, imagine the amazing measure of what Koheles is going to teach you about Hanan, the end of Perek Beis. Imagine the measure and the forbearance of a family that raises this two-year-old to say, you can't have that ice cream now. Not because dinner is in an hour, or you already had your allotment of sugar and carbs for the day. No 2 year old knows that. But you can say you can't have that ice cream because you are flacious. You just had a hamburger an hour ago. 2 year old is going to get that. Trust me. I raised a lot of kids, and I have Kanayanara, Baruch Hashem, a lot of grandchildren. They only have a tantrum if they think it will get them someplace. As soon as they know that this is not negotiable, every time a tantrum is in. You're not going to get anything. It's going to be worse if you continue. A tantrum always continues as long as they feel that something's up. I'm going to get something out of it. The more you give in, the harder it is going to be next time they have a tantrum in the supermarket. I haven't had that cereal. I saw it at my friend's house. I saw it on television, I saw the commercial, I saw it, blah, 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 blah. Right? You can't explain to them, well, if they don't keep kosher, or you say, we keep kosher, and it doesn't come into our house. Right? And they'll get that. 2 and 3 year old can get that. So that 2 and 3 year old will grow into a person who understands. I can say no. Right, what's one of the most depressing psukim in Koheles we say every day? It's Umosar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin ki akol havel. But that's, the Meiri says, it's this pasuk why the rabbis wanted to take it out of Tanakh. What do you mean there's no mosar, there's no utility of a human being over being an animal? And then the next pasuk says, who knows if the animal goes after it dies? Is any different than when we go after we die? Heresy! How can you say such a thing? All right, so the Meiri writes, Koheles works from Torah HaMechkar, empirical evidence. We have no empirical evidence of where we go after we die. We're not allowed to. Right? There's a story in the Tanakh of someone calling Shmuel back from the dead. So he still exists. Isn't that proof of afterlife? No. Because the story is bogus. She didn't do that. I mean, she made Shmuel think that she was doing that. Do we have any proof in the Tanakh that there's life after death? Look, Yeshayahu says people will rise again after they die. Daniel says many Yishenei HaFar, people sleeping in the dust, they're going to push up the daisies again. There are people in there are
the whole chapter 38 in Yechezkel about the dry bones, right? Yeah, but Koheles doesn't work with that. At least not in that section, because that's not the Navi. You'll see why the Navi is on this line. Chachma does not prove. I know, you know, you ever hear stories like you read in the National Choir about someone who's pronounced dead on the operating table, right? And then they saw Jesus. They saw a great light. Of course a Christian is going to see Jesus. Because what's the first thing they do when they think you're dead? You know what they do? They mist your eye and they shine in a great light. If somehow they revive you, your brain is going to record that. And that's the great light with for you. It's Jesus. Right? Okay, if you're a Christian, okay, so the brain has incredible power. We talked about that last time also, and the empirical proof that Koheles wants for life after death, that we're different from an animal, eludes him. So he's not gonna equalize the suffering of righteous people by saying, like Brachas Daf Hey, well, don't worry, in the next world it'll all be evened out. The Rasha will get his comeuppance in the next world, the Tzaddik will get his reward in the next world. Shalom Al Yisrael.
This is the Nana? This is the example of the Nana?
This is still in the Nana because, well, I'm just going to say in a second, that the pshat I want to give, Umo Sarva Adon Min HaBehema Oyin Yaakov Avel, is not a pshat at all, it's a Hasidic Shadrash. Listen to the words. Umosar ha'odam min ha'behema, oyin. You can show that you're better than an animal by saying no. If you want your pleasure in the moment, like Yishmael, you're a mitzachek. And you know what? Who's going to gravitate to you? Someone who says, Hinem ochi olech lamus, v'lam azeli b'chora. B'chora is down the line. I have to wait for daddy to die. I'm probably going to not even outlive daddy. I see death every day in the field. What am I talking about, obviously? Well, what do I need such a b'chora? I care about what that food you have right there now. Right? I want it now. Okay? You know, lentils are brown when you cook them. They're red when they're raw. He says, halitain no. I want it raw. I want it now. I don't want to wait for it to be cooked. Esav would love a microwave oven, right? So the Nana wants things at the moment. You give dog food, you know what it's going to do with food? It's going to eat food until it throws up. There's a pasuk about this in Mishlei, the dog that returns to its vomit. And you know what it's going to do after it throws up? It's going to eat that. Okay, as opposed to a human being, who knows how to push the plate away and say, I've had enough. Or to put away the next drink, or to stop the next gambling, or something. But never, some bad behavior becomes addictive, and addictions become harder to turn away. Yes.
So to clarify, the Chakira would be that humans have, yes, a Chakira, all animals are instinctual,
and
say?
Yes. Let's say it that way for now. And we have, but sometimes, if we make bad decisions, our instinctual behavior will cause us to behave like animals.
And we're in trouble.
Sometimes worse. That's the man.
Okay.
Be careful, man. Sexual behavior. You know, gambling today is some of the worst. I think eating disorders are probably the very worst. Because you don't have to gamble tomorrow to live, but you do have to eat tomorrow to live. So an eating disorder is going to be a lot harder to overcome than a gambling disorder. I work with people, especially gambling and alcohol. And some of the things we're supposed to do in this regard are totally counterintuitive. You want to help them. You want to, you know, my wife kicked me out. Can I spend a night here? You know what the answer should be? Get the hell out. Sleep on the train. And that's a friend. You take him in the house. You know what he's going to do? He's going to drink your cough medicine. He's going to go at night when everyone's sleeping. He's going to finish your scotch. I had to learn the hard way because I helped a lot of people. I used to take them in. I had an extra room in the back in the apartment, and I'd take them in. So wrong. I heard that.
And they have to just bottom out.
It's counterintuitive. I mean, gambling is sometimes even worse. Gambling is a scourge right now in a lot of places. It's so easy to do. I'm telling you, I know Lakewood. It's very, very in high schools in Lakewood, very pervasive. So that's what it is. Perek Beis gives a long list of Hana that he had. Right? And good Mefarshim, you know what they do? Because they want to connect Koheles to Shlomo. They show how all the examples he gives are things that Shlomo did in Melachim and Divrei Yomim. Women, the pools, the waterfalls, the food, all things that he demonstrates in Sefer Melachim. Okay, does that prove Shlomo wrote this book? No, it proves that the person writing the book wants to make you think he's Shlomo, right? Because I'll say that the book was given its final form by, anybody know? Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Shlomo's descendant 300 years later. I'm not going to get into that. It's Shlomo's life. Shlomo's, it doesn't matter. The next step doesn't matter. Perek Beis is Shlomo all over the place. Okay? And he's saying, you know what happened? I forgot how to say no. I couldn't say no to my wives. I couldn't say no to the pleasure. But what he does tell us at the end of Perek Beis is the most important pasuk in the Perek. What does he say? Look at pasuk Chaptal and Chafei. He says, "Ein tov ba adam shiokal v'shasav v'heroes nafshot tov ba malo gamzor isiyani ki miyad elokim." Is strive, take things you enjoy doing, be an amal and a nehenet together, and appreciate right now. He's not talking about chokhmah and nevuah yet, but although that does come across a little bit in Paragam. But amelus and hana'a, temperate. But don't go overboard like I did, because look at pasuk chafei, ki mi yochal umi yochush chutz mimen. The chutz doesn't mean besides me, it means better than me. In other words, who had the ability to find meaning in life with pleasures more than me? And if it didn't give me ultimate meaning in life, it's not going to do it for you, you or you. And you asked, since I mentioned the movie before about moving to Saturn, this I just remember, I took my kids, I remember it's the Flintstones movie, remember when he gets, he makes it rich, and he's with Fred and Wilma, or the jacuzzi, and he's smoking on a cigar, and the jacuzzi says, "Wilma, who said money can't make you happy?" And his poor friend Barney is listening to that as he's serving he lost his job, and so, I don't know, whatever. And he ends up becoming very unhappy. Good muscle. Right? You know, there's a line in the Beatles song. I'm not showing off about all the pop culture I knew before I was 18 that I somehow had not forgotten. There's a Beatles song that says, "Money can't buy me love," a very famous line, right? "Money can't buy me love." But there's also a line that says, besides, that's a Paul song. John sings a song, "Your money gives me a, no, your loving gives me a thrill, but your loving don't pay my bills." But let's put that aside right now. There's a song called "Money," which was meant to spoof Paul's song, "Money Can't Buy Me Love." But there's another song by Paul that says, so it's a stereo. He says, "Fun is the one thing that money can't buy." So if you say money can't buy me love, and fun is the one thing that money can't buy, that's true or not, but what do those two things mean together, right? Koheles is telling you, my purpose in writing this book is to take you to the gym, take you out to the shed, and teach you to make the right choices so that when you get so old that your chakras aren't working so well anymore, that you can look back at life and say, this was well lived. and you're not getting thrown out to pasture or something like that.
Your children are acting right. Remember the first Targum in this book? He writes the book because he says, my children aren't. They're squandering everything I lived for. There's a saying, don't raise your children in a way that's going to make you hate them. So Perek Beis is telling you, Hana alone, Ixnei. It's not going to work. Right? Hana with Amelus, strive, work hard, enjoy, go on vacations. Yeah. Don't, Hana alone. Mi yachush yolchutz mimeni. Who can tell you better than I? Ki lo adom shetor ponav masan chochma v'das v'simcha. He concludes that you have to stand before God, which is a moral question. He's going to ask, no, what did you do? You know, if I gave you the answers to the test that you're going to have, we'll discuss what we're having. Midterm, I don't like giving midterms. It's a waste of the whole class. But if I gave you the answer to the test, that's going to say, what kind of teacher is this? And yet, the Talmud, the Laman Aleph, says that when we all die, we're going to ask us six questions after we die. And it gives us the questions. Wow. Thank you. Don't you want to know what those questions are?
That was three.
Six. People usually call four, but they skip the last two. I don't know why. But the six questions, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayah. So Kohelis wants us to answer those six questions. Right? Not going to give you them now, because that would be not fair. Read through the book, and that will go to the same questions. All right? You get the answers to the test. Amazing. And when you finish this course, you're going to remember the six questions, and you're going to be able to answer them. All right? Okay, next class, the Chacham. And we're going to do the Chacham and the Navi together. Because the Navi is really the narrator. The Navi is he doesn't treat Nevuah, because Nevuah is too ephemeral. But the Navi is the one talking. The Navi is the narrator of the book. That's a finish. All right? The Chochmah is next, okay? All right, guys. Let's, yeah. And after we do Chochmah, we're going to go back to Theodicy. All right?
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
What do I do with this now? Just stop it?
Yeah.